It's 8 o'clock and we have Ugo Joy in the studio with us. You're listening to Classic FM 97.3. Business Half Hour is what you
Yes. Good morning, Lagos. This is Business Half Hour brought to you by Naira Metrics. And we are here again for what looks, seems to be, what is likely going to be another very exciting discourse. How was your weekend, Mukola?
It was fine, thank you. I had a restful one.
Okay, for some of us, you know, weekends are work and fun, so we kind of mix both. Rainy Monday, I hope everyone is safe, dry safe, it's wet everywhere, traffic here and there. It wasn't easy getting here, but thank God we're here.
You swam the seven seas?
Yeah, you know how it is, driving through Lekki. But nevertheless, it's work Monday, so motivational Monday. And I hope that on today's show, a lot of people are going to get motivated. We have a very, very, very special guest in the house today. As usual, what we like to do is just allow our guests introduce themselves and what they do.
Introduce yourself. Hi, Lagos. My name is Adedipo Olagbegi, and I teach kids to code.
Mm. Oh, my God.
That's what you do.
So, Dipo is the managing director of Spark IT Bootcamp. Mm. I mean, when I read your profile during the week, I was like, this is interesting. I've always thought of a bootcamp for teaching, you know, young people how to invest. But when I saw this IT bootcamp, and this is the holiday season, and I'm thinking of my kids at home, and I'm like, where do I ship them to? So this kind of resonated with me. So anyway, before I start to go on and on and on, what do you guys do? What's Spark IT Bootcamp?
Okay, so Spark IT Bootcamp is basically a technology initiative. Essentially, we identified a gap in the market with regards to education kids on technology, broadly speaking. You know, so a lot of our schools, while they do a lot of really good work with the English and the maths and the physics and chemistry, we're not doing quite enough when it comes to coding and programming and essentially preparing these kids for a technology future, which is imminent as it is. You know, we're actually at the brink, or we're already in the what we call the digital age. So essentially what we try to do basically is just teach kids through our summer camps, our in-school programs, and other platforms that we have, technology, and basically start them early.
Interesting stuff.
I'm going to enroll.
You're going to enroll.
It's for kids, please.
haven't you seen that drama, that particular film of that very old man that went back to school?
Yeah.
So I won't be ashamed. I'll just sit in the midst of the kids, humble myself, and learn.
It's true, though. There's no age when it comes to learning. But I mean, I'm just imagining a class of like 10, 12 year olds. But I mean, why IT bootcamp, though? Somebody would say, you know, why not something else? I mentioned investor bootcamp, but don't do that, dude.
Okay, so IT bootcamp, because essentially technology is the future. What we've realized is that, and the trend, even the research shows that whatever career, whatever business you're in, technology is going to be a critical part of it. Doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, to come here today, I took a ride sharing cab.
You would have just paid us
so,
right now.
You know, because of the rain, I just said not to drive. Took a ride sharing app that just called up on my phone. And technology has changed a lot of what we do, and that is going to increase. And we're seeing that, and you know, Nigeria has to position specifically for that. And you know, there's a saying that says that if you want shade, or you want shade from a tree, you need to, the best time to plant the tree is 20 years ago, but the next best time is right now.
Nigeria
is right there where we need to actually position, you know, for that new age that is coming in. And essentially, we just need to teach kids technology. And apart from just, you know, let me just speak on programming specifically. Programming also helps kids to think logically. Mm-hmm. So it helps them to problem solve, critical thinking. So it also equips them with skills that we call 21st century skills that will basically help them thrive in the 21st century, essentially.
All right, so just to really get this very clear, because I want our listeners to really understand what your business model is. So basically, if I get you right, this is the summer holiday. So children, you know, parents out there, if they want, look for somewhere they can send their children to, send them to an IT boot camp, and then they can be there for, is it a day or two? Yeah. Like, or do they leave there, or do they
home from
so
home.
They don't live there, but we run weekly courses. So one of the things that we that really differentiates us in the market is that every week we have a different course and we teach kids to program within a week. You know, so we have and we try to make it as diverse as possible. So not just programming, since we teach technologies, we also teach design, graphics, editing. We do DJing, we do t-shirt printing, we do different things that...
So it's not like the kids get to choose anyone. So you got to do an array of stuff.
Yeah, so they choose.
Because sometimes their kids, they really don't know what they want to do. I mean, like...
Yeah,
how?
So we can recommend if they don't know, they're not sure that, or they're indecisive. But typically, the kids, a lot of times, they actually know what they want. So when they look at our schedule and they look at it, they say, oh, this week I want to do maybe graphics editing. Next week I want to do Python programming, or the week after I want to do drone programming. So they are things that they've seen and they're already interested in. Mm-hmm. It's something that they like, or maybe they want to do robotics, you know. So it's always kind of you know, the kids keep, and sometimes parents say, okay, please, I want my child to learn to program, forget all this flying drone or robotics, let him program. And we work with the kids, and always we try to make it as fun as possible.
When you say kids, what's the age bracket here?
So we start from as early as six to about 17. So we have,
so
it's a wide.
I mean, like,
not in the same class, but
yes. Because if I have a kid that can code at 7, 8, and I mean, like, just enroll the kid to freelance and start to make some money, you know?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
But how did you come up with this idea? Like, where did you.
Very
is this something that you caught somewhere or something that you thought of? I mean, how did you come up with this idea?
Interesting. So I've always been IT all my career, essentially. So I'm an IT practitioner, essentially.
Okay.
So my son, at some point, it was like 4 or 5 years ago, asked me, he was like, oh, Dad, I want to know what you do. I want to learn. And I said, okay, well, what can I do? How can I help you? I said, well, okay, bring a couple of your friends together. Let's let me teach them, you know, basic things about technology, coding and stuff like that. So that's how we arranged the first
Wow.
So it was just like, oh, you know, just trying to help my son learn about what I do and programming and stuff. And we got, it was a huge hit because we got companies that participated in that one. We had Microsoft, Cisco, a couple of really big guys that were interested in what we were doing. And you know, next year we're actually, we didn't plan to do it again. We're just like a one-off. Next year I started getting calls like, oh, what are you guys
doing again?
And then that's how it kind of spiraled into what it is now. So I now took time to actually research, and I realized that amazing, you know, what they're doing globally. So we benchmarked against what they're doing in America, what they're doing in the UK, in India, and in Europe. So basically what we have essentially is best practice from across the world. We just try to just take it, let's just take bits and pieces and then also make it relevant to the Nigerian environment.
Yeah.
There's some things that we do here that we've identified because of the industries that are really prevalent or that we see high growth in Nigeria. For example, we do video editing, which not many people do across the world, but because we know that Nollywood is a massive industry in Nigeria, industry is powered by technology. Even music is a massive industry.
Music is,
So we focus on that. So we don't just say, well, just program and code, or, you know, we try and make it as broad as possible for it to be relevant to the country that we're in.
How long have you had this?
So this is our fifth year.
I can see digital marketing here. So
digital marketing, we did Canva, which is like a tool that people use for digital marketing. So essentially we train kids to use Canva to do digital marketing. And what we encourage them to do is help your parents, because I know a lot of mompreneurs and people that have businesses struggle with digital marketing and struggle with getting skilled people. And so, you know, so we've got... So we taught their kids, and we said, look, just if you have a business, give
just teach your kid that. Yeah, exactly.
Give them the challenge to do it. And you find that our kids are so creative, you know, because my son does all my creatives for me, and he's just 17. So he does a lot of my digital marketing ads and stuff. He does it himself.
You see now, you were laughing at me.
I don't have to pay, you know.
There's music editing and DJing here.
Anyway, because I know you're 16, so they actually said between 6 and 17. Now you're 16, aren't you?
I'll fit in,
eh? You're beating it. Anyway, like, how do you get, like, you know, kids can be very, it's difficult to get their attention. So how do you get kids committed in here? Because, I mean, as a parent, you want to send your kid to a boot camp. But at the same time, in as much as this is like a getaway for you, you know, but you still want value for your kids. So how do you get them to be attentive? Like, because kids are, and of course, it just came out of an academic session. So are they going to be, you know, back into the grind? Or do you mix this up a little bit? How do you balance things?
Right, that is a very good question. And what we found out, and this is from trial and error, we tried to, and we've learned over the years that making it immersive, because what we do is we make it immersive. So we don't give them books, they don't get handouts, so they learn by doing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I show you, introduce you a concept, you know, basically go through the maybe algorithm or go through the program construct with you, and then I tell you to do it. So I just throw them in, and the kids really enjoy that. And because they're digital natives, that means that, you know, they're intuitive when it comes to technology. So they, you know, they want to hack it. They've been playing games for so long. So when you give them the opportunity to actually create a game, you know, they get into it, and they're very engaged. And the way we also deliver the classes, we try to make it as fun as possible. You know, I mean, last week during the video editing class, we did a Drake challenge, which was interesting, you know, and the kids were able to take that, mix it. So we always make it relevant into something that they like as well, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And, you know, like website design, we ask them, okay, look, what club do you support? Maybe Arsenal. Yeah, design a website as an Arsenal fan, you know, and we do all those kind of things, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's always kind of
really interesting stuff. I mean, because I've always thought that to get kids really, really attentive, you really have to give them something that sort of like plays to their fancy. Let's look at the business side of this now. Okay. So is this a non-for-profit or for-profit business? I mean, where would you categorize
it's,
this?
It's social entrepreneurship, so it is for-profit, but it's not for excess profit. So we make it to keep the lights on and ensure we can continue to stay marketable. And
so what's the business model then? Like, how do you monetize this?
It's a numbers game. So if once because we're impact-driven, we really want to do, we're more interested in numbers of people that we do as much as than profit.
Yeah.
I mean, profit is important, but it's also important that it's sustainable. So we don't have to depend on grants or aids to keep it going.
Okay, know? Okay.
But that would refuse if we get grants. So we would appreciate that. But yeah, but for us, it's more of making an impact. And like I said, you know, I'm really passionate. I think Nigeria actually has a really big chance of making an impact in the digital age. You know, we sort of missed out on the whole industrial age.
The age of death. So digital age, we can't miss out. I don't think we're missing out anyway.
So it's manufacturing and all that. But I think with digital age, we can actually leapfrog into that, you know, because Nigerians are very smart individually. And I think we have a good chance. And, you know, statistics say 40% of the world, by 2030, 40% of the world's working population is coming from Africa. And out of that 40%, maybe 15 to 20 will be coming from Nigeria. And what the world is leading towards is now a knowledge economy. So it's an economy where we need people that can program, that can understand technology, that can do neural networks, that can do artificial intelligence, data science, and all those kind of really interesting things.
So business model, so you basically charge, if I get you right, parents for having kids.
Exactly. So we charge for the holiday camps. Sometimes we partner with schools, so we run after school clubs, and then we run what we call a weekend coding club.
Okay. So it's not even just on holiday. So no, you do this through the year and all. So do you do this full time now, or?
So this is one of my businesses, but this is one I'm really passionate about.
I can imagine.
I think it's very rewarding. So I do this, as part of one of my businesses. I have another business. I have an IT business. So I actually have IT services or IT consultancy firm that I run, you know. So, in addition to this one, so it's like one of my really two businesses there. But this one I kind of really like. I don't know.
And you've had this for 5 years now. Do you have like support staff? Like, how many employees? How do you run your operations?
Yes. We have about 5 to 10 people that come in. Depends on. So, we have a lot of volunteer staff because we have seasonal business. So, the holiday camp now, we get a lot of people that join us, like interns, and so interesting enough, a lot of my interns are teenagers, so I really like working with young people. So and some of them have been on my program, and they come back. Yeah, so they work with us.
Do they get paid for that, or it's just
we pay
if you remunerate them as well?
We give them an allowance.
So you're saying, like, as a company, so full staff is just maybe like six people.
Yeah, so we have a lot of, because a lot of our teachers, facilitators are actually full-time programmers. So we can't obviously afford to pay them full-time. What we do is that when we need them, we take them in so they come in like part-time. So we have close to 30 people on part-time that come in, and we pay them per engagement. So that's a better model. But we do have facilitators in-house that do a lot of our in-school programs. So we have about 10 people. Total,
not a bad business model, you know. So like, cost is quite low, and then there's always room for an upside.
Exactly. Right?
So before we go on break, another question around the business side of things. Where do you intend to scale this? Is there room to scale beyond what you're doing now?
Yes.
Are you looking at having an academy, or are you looking at going into other countries within Africa? I mean, what's scaling for you when it comes to this business?
Definitely, there's massive room, because what we found out that what we do, there's a big demand for it. You know, a lot of parents want to teach their kids to learn programming, and it's very important, because I mean, programming is like, or coding is like the new should I say typing or you know, or even using the computer, it's new writing essentially. So it's new skill, and a lot of parents want to do that. So you know, obviously scaling for us right now, we're in Lekki. We have partners on the mainland that we work with sometimes, but really for us, we'd like to actually be in every state of Nigeria. I mean, I like going outside Nigeria, but I really want to help Nigeria first.
Nigeria's big enough for now.
Let me just see at least the places where we think the business is viable, where we can have a good model. So it would be nice, you know, because we have that human capacity, and I think we can actually transform that to something really
But does it have to be physical? Like, do you have online maybe webinars and yes, things like
so
that?
We're launching our online platform later on this year. So we've just been working on that. Online has been a bit you know, tricky because we for a lot of people for programming, you need to have one-on-one. Mm-hmm, because the online platform, we assign you to a mentor. Because there's a lot of free online resources.
Yes, for
You can go to a lot of the Udemy's and Udacity's. But for the one we do, we're in the demo stage now, you know, hopefully we should go live by Q4. It allows you to have a one-on-one mentor. So somebody that guides your coding and programming. Because programming is a long journey. And, you know, that's the platform.
Incredible. I mean, like, I'm listening to you and my mind is just going around. I'm like, wow, this business model, like, it's so many things you can actually do to scale this from various angles. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about funding, about challenges of the business, and then where you think you'll be maybe in the next 5 years. All right.
It's cool. A Classic FM 97.3, and you're listening to Business Half Hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Up. You can be anything in the world, and God we trust, an architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy, it takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star, she was very beautiful, leaving people in awe, singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version, hung with the wrong person, got her stronger than heroin, cocaine, sniffing up drugs, all in her nose, could have died so young, now looks ugly and old, no fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep, and the crowd you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hands in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be,
I'll be where I wanna be.
Boys and girls, listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, for you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists. So act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys. You can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking weed and ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write. Begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
and that is for sure. It's all about determination. You can be what you want to be. Going out to the kids on holiday.
Not just kids. Bukola is already a convert. I mean, like, I can't even believe it. She's all... Jeez. all right, Dipo, welcome back. Lagos, so if you're just tuning in, we're talking to... between 6 and 17 who want to learn how to code. So it's the holiday season. If you got kids, man, I mean, I'm looking forward to do with them. This is probably a good idea. Okay, so let's go a bit more into the business side of things. So as an entrepreneur starting this excuse me, you must have at least to an extent funded this one way or the other. So your early stage funding, was it bootstrapped, or did you get funding from people at a go?
We bootstrapped, and then we also kind of got a bit of support from the OEMs. And when I say OEMs, I mean the
equipment manufacturers.
The technology companies. I mean, we got Oracle support, we got Microsoft support, we got HP, a couple of the big guys kind of.
So how did you get them? Did you know them before? Did you just approach them?
I'm in IT though, so okay. I work with them in different capacities.
So it was easy to get them on board.
Just knock on doors and say, hey, I'm doing this. Do you guys want to help?
Okay.
And they're very, like, oh, yeah. So some gave help with always curriculum access. We had some that actually came to train. We had
good.
Microsoft came down to train directly and train the kids themselves. Mm-hmm. It was really good. It was good. But that wasn't scalable, basically. Mm. Because they're very busy, so we had to get our own.
What are your own guys?
But initially starting up, they were very supportive.
So has there been any kind of venture capital funding somewhere along the line, or is this something you're looking at doing at some point?
Yes, it is. It's something that we're, like I said, for us to expand nationwide, that we're looking at, definitely VC funding would be useful. We need patient funds.
Yeah, so if there's somebody out there listening and looking ready to put in $1 or $2 million, you can come your way. How do you value this industry? Basically, are you the only one, or do you have competitors in this industry as well? They're doing things.
It's a big one in Nigeria. Yes, we do have competitors. I don't even like referring to them as competitors. I think they're more as co-enablers, essentially. There are a lot of kids in Nigeria, so
that really needs trading.
Yeah, so
it's a huge market, basically.
It's huge. Like schools in Nigeria.
Yeah,
you know, like schools are so many. Must have at least 30 schools, and they still keep coming up a new school every other term or so. And the market is still big enough, because there are a lot of kids. And same thing with this industry. There's a lot of demand, So it's just that it's not the profit is not as doesn't. It's not that popping, it's not like
At the end of the day, it all depends on how you want to scale it.
So you have to be patient, but I think it's also very rewarding, because you're only not just you're also making an impact to Nigeria. I think that's, for me, that's also very rewarding when you see these kids actually learn, engage, programming. We have a case of a young boy. He was 11 when we met him. Now he's about 13. He actually has a game company now. He builds it. We taught him how to use Unity, and he was so interested. He developed it himself. Now he has a game company that he's made about maybe 5 or 6 games. He sends me, every time he makes a new game, he sends it to me. I download it and play it. And he's so passionate.
Amazing stuff, man.
You have a young ladies in Anambra recently that won the particular.
Yes. It was in the news.
Or the app.
Yeah.
Yes, Technovation. I'm actually the regional ambassador for Technovation. So,
really?
Yes. So before they went from America, I kind of spoke to them.
So, congratulations to you too.
Yes, exactly. I take it.
All right. So, someone listening out there who is thinking, oh, maybe this is something I can do. I mean, there are different kind of boot camps. So you want to run a boot camp for maybe not IT, something else. And like I said, investing. So how do you go about running a boot camp? I mean, what do you need to do or to have?
Okay, so I'll say research is very important. I mean, I didn't do that much research because I kind of got into it. But it's interesting to know. I mean, it's good to know what people want. Coding is something parents want, and there's a gap in that market.
Yeah,
a lot of the schools don't have
can't really provide that resource.
Provide that, they're not covering that angle. So I mean, so there's an obvious gap there, and it was easy for us to kind of plug into that gap and build that ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at starting a bootcamp, I think having that at the back of your mind, find out where exactly is the need, talking to parents, focus groups, trying to understand so if you have an idea, just sound it off across a couple of parents and say, would you pay for this bootcamp? And they will tell you right away. Parents are very blunt. Say, yes, I will. No,
oh, no, I won't.
Yeah, sure. So if it's something that is interesting and it has there's a good gap, then definitely, and that's a good approach.
Good morning, please. How do we get our kids to the bootcamp?
So the couple of ways that we do it. I mean, our website is www.sparkitbootcamp.com. We also on Instagram at Spark IT Bootcamp, on Facebook at Spark IT Bootcamp. You can reach out to us on any one of these platforms, or you can call us on 0802-222-5432. We'll just register your child online, and if you can't reach us on any of those platforms, just show up in either of our clubs on the Monday. We'll register your child.
Take that number again, please.
Okay, so yes, 0802-222-5432.
All right, I'm sure the guys on Iometrics would have this up on our handles as well, so that you follow Iometrics and you get the handle as well. You've got to have a lot of challenges as well. I mean, it's not easy running any business in Nigeria, and we've got a lot of guys like you, even much younger people who are into startups, businesses that are just less than a year old or a year old on this show, and everybody's just a common theme. This is just a struggle trying to, you know, create something here. So for you, what would you say has been like, man, this can be really tough?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think initially one was finding facilitators. What happens with programming or teaching coding or teaching anything technology is that the fact I'm a good programmer does not mean I'm a good teacher.
Exactly.
So trying to get that balance.
Talent is a problem.
Yeah, of people that can not only understand technology but are able to teach kids in a way that they can understand is always very tricky. So we have a very, very rigorous interview process where we try to test that these guys can teach, and then run them through our model and just make sure that there's consistency across all our programs. So getting people was very tough. So, you know, we've had to actually train people sometimes
so that they can train other people.
Create that ecosystem and that market to get people to actually learn how to teach coding.
It's really interesting you say this, because people talk a lot about, you know, jobs, unemployment rate not of 30%, and, you know, no jobs. But then, you know, entrepreneurs that we've spoken to, we meet all the time, you know, at Iometrics, they always tell us that, look, you know, it's always difficult getting talent, right? So you get a lot of people who come in, not the right resource and all of that. So it's tough. But all through last 5 years, has there ever been a moment where you said, you know what, I'm done with this business, like, I just can't do it anymore, like, I'm just tired, it's just stressful? Like, do you face that sometimes?
Yes, I think the first 2-3 years, that was me every summer. I'm like, oh man, this
thing has come again.
Yeah, exactly. Because at that time,
so how'd you get by?
So I mean, it was just us trying to just identify how we could make it more profitable. You know, stripping things out, because initially when we started, we used to like do like full meals for the kids and stuff. And when we saw that it was, you know, t-shirts and everybody, you know, we realized that it wasn't profitable.
It wasn't profitable like that.
It was really eating into our margins, so we had to strip some of those things to make it affordable for the brand.
Yes, you know, yes,
you
yes.
Understand
yes.
that, you know, like I'll give you a typical course that we do, like a Python course, is like 30,000 or 35,000 naira in Nigeria. That same course, exactly the same course in the UK, is £500. So you can see the difference.
It's huge.
It's huge value, and it's exactly the same thing. Same curriculum that we go through it. But you can see that, you know, we can't charge that. If we bring that same idea,
nobody will just pay.
It would just be me teaching myself.
I was going to ask you, what's the fee fee like though? So is it something affordable? Is it really that 35,000?
Yes,
what you said?
It is 35,000 a week
for each kid.
And the question we always get is, can you teach your child programming
in a week? Yeah.
And yes, we can. Like you said, the child, the 11-year-old that now has a gaming studio or that has his own gaming company, we taught him Unity in just 1 week. But it's like driving a car. Programming is like driving a car.
So you got
to
keep doing it.
That can teach you to move a car in 1 day. But obviously, for you to improve, you have to keep practicing and then trying out new things. So as you keep driving over time, you get better and you get better. And that's the same thing with programming. You really don't stop learning with programming. So, but once we give you the basics and we give you the confidence level required, it's easier for us now. We also give you resources and so because all the resources are available online. So you just have to we tell you where to look and how to build that up.
And then just keep improving yourself.
Totally.
So it's 5 years. Someone said that if you have a business that done 5 years and it's still going, then at least you've sort of like hit your first success milestone. It's not easy for a startup. Most businesses, most startups fail in the first 5 years. So over the last 5 years, what would you say has been like, man, this has been my high point, high moment, at least in the last 5 years?
Yeah, I think for me it's just the kids, I guess. It's just
there's gotta be one thing, man, this is it. Could be a business, it could be someone sponsoring you, it could be, I mean, like, maybe one particular summer. I mean, like, was there anyone?
I mean, one of my highlights, and shout out to Lagos State on this one. One of my highlights was we got to partner with Lagos State on the Lagos Project, which is an initiative to teach 1 million kids to program in Lagos State. So we wrote the curriculum, designed the entire program, you know, not even kids, we also train out of school people. So we actually designed the entire curriculum, worked.
That must have been some good money.
It was a lot of goodwill.
Yeah, it was good.
But it was a good opportunity. And, yeah. And Lagos is doing it for free. So people actually learn to code for free. And that has been really, really interesting. And we got to work with the private, with the government schools, which
I know
a lot of them can't really afford to,
Do that.
So I was able to do that.
So that was a lot of impact.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm very impact driven. So I know I need money, but at the same time, I like the impact.
Yeah, you got to sustain that.
Yeah. Mm. So we're able to actually, so we're in about 300 schools in Lagos State that we have that.
Fantastic.
And a lot of them are government schools. And being able to reach out to government schools is so rewarding. And, you know, these kids don't have technology at home, phones, and they're able to, you know, it's awesome. So that has been a very strong, very good high point for me.
All right, Lagos, we've been talking to Adedipo Lagbegi. It's been a very interesting conversation. He runs Spark IT Bootcamp. We'd like to close the show with your parting shot. Is there any slogan that you live by or, you know, that sort of motivates you every day?
The slogan I kind of live by is that 90% of future jobs is going to require technology, one way or another.
You heard that, Lagos. 90% of future jobs is in the tech side. All right, Bukola, that's it from Naira Metrics. As usual, Lagos, if you missed this show or any part of it, there's a podcast that's going to be up tomorrow. You can listen to our podcast on your iTunes or anywhere you listen to podcasts, nairametrics.com. That's it for this week. Next week, we have another exciting guest on the show.
All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your day.